I hope you guys have enjoyed this conference so far. Who's had a good time here? Round of applause. Yeah? Yeah? All right, good. That's good. I'm very honored that Donovan asked me to appear here. As most of you might know, I'm pretty new in this space. And today, I had a choice to... I thought, I'm either going to talk about how to lay pipe, or I could talk about how to make sure your pipe works properly. And because we've got a bit of an older crowd here, I figured this is probably more pertinent to you guys. My hope is that you do not need any of the things in this presentation, because this is sort of a bunch of tools that you can use to fix things, all right? So take some notes. There's a lot of bullet points in here, a lot of things you can write down. If you don't need any of this, fantastic. That's the best case scenario, okay? But this is basically just tools you might need should you have any of these issues. Now, titties. For those of you who don't know who the hell I am, my name is Sterling Cooper. I am an award-winning porn star. I am a former high-class male companion. I used to get paid to service wealthy businesswomen, etc. I've been paid to sling dick for money for the better part of the last 8 years. So, and prior to that, I was in the swinging scene for quite a while. So I have a plethora of experience in the bedroom in various different contexts, various different women. And these days, I combine that experience in terms of how to get women off in the bedroom properly with my experience performing under pressure, shall we say. And I teach that to you guys. I give you guys the tools and the tricks that we use in our industry to make sure things are working downstairs properly. All right. Now, this isn't all me. Some of this stuff is original content from me. A lot of it is stuff I've stolen from dudes who are more experienced than me in my industry. So you can steal it from me now and make it yours. All right? So let's get stuck into it. What are the biggest issues that guys tend to face in the bedroom? These are the big four. Okay? Yeah, performance anxiety, delayed ejaculation, premature ejaculation, and erectile dysfunction. Now, a lot of guys get the top and the bottom one kind of confused. They think they're the same thing. Let me quickly give you guys a breakdown. So, erectile dysfunction is something wrong with the plumbing. It's a physical thing, right? It's a blood flow thing. We'll get into that. Performance anxiety is up here. It's the mental component. It's the you psyching yourself out. Now, it's important to distinguish between those two things because there's different ways to get around them. Now, premature ejaculation, jizzing too early, is something a lot of guys have a problem with. But delayed ejaculation, I see it more and more these days with younger men, especially with younger men, due to excessive pornography use. And I'm right here now, a porn star is in front of you telling you right now, there's one thing you should take away from this seminar, it's stop watching porn. Really? I don't need your money. Stop watching porn. Simple. Doesn't do you any good. All right? I'm going to give you maybe one example where you can use it to your advantage in this presentation. But if you don't need that, stop it. So, what are some of the most common causes of performance anxiety? Now, all the stuff you see in this presentation as well comes from me coaching guys over the course of the last year, one-on-one and in big group sessions. I get a lot of guys emailing me, DMing me, and then obviously in private Zoom calls, going over their various problems. So this is why I'm able to kind of break this down like this and identify some of these most common mental thought patterns that guys tend to have, right? And also, I'll make this perfectly clear, the reason why I know how to fix all this stuff is because I've had to fix it at some point in my career. I'm a human too. I'm not flawless. It's a pretty stressful job what I do sometimes, right? And not every day, I'm not 100% every single day, right? But we have to work, and I have to get the job done the next day, right? I can't have any downtime. So I have to learn how to fix it ASAP. And that's how I know how the stuff works. But let's get stuck into it. Causes of performance anxiety. One I see a lot, of guys making this mistake. They're trying too hard to please or impress their partner. The thought pattern that goes on in their heads is, oh boy, I really hope she likes me. I really hope she wants to see me again. I really hope I'm as good as her last lover. Do I measure up? Right? If you start, if anything I say during this particular slide resonates with anything you might have thought, pay attention to it, okay? Because it could lead you down a bad rabbit hole that you don't want to go down. Worrying too much about coming too quickly or losing your boner. If I tell you right now to think of an elephant, actually no, I did that completely wrong. If I tell you not to think of an elephant, what are you going to think of? You're going to think of an elephant, aren't you? So you do the same thing to yourself. You put yourself in an almost hypnotic trance where you cause your own goddamn boner to go away by thinking about it too much, right? Where is your focus going? Having sex with women you're not actually into. Believe it or not, some dudes will do this. They'll, you know, my superpower is that I can fuck damn near anything. That's my secret superpower. And so both a blessing and a curse. Now, not everyone has that ability. So having sex with women you're not actually into, and more importantly, I don't necessarily mean physically, I mean she pisses you off. Let me tell you a quick story. I remember back when I used to go on to like pick up forums when I was in my early 20s and stuff. I wasn't like a natural with women. I guarantee you, I was in a worse place than anyone in this room when I was in my early 20s. Superly socially anxious, couldn't talk to chicks at all. No woman wanted to come near me. I went from that to learning how to talk to chicks, to getting into the swinging scene, to getting paid to sling dick. I'm probably tiny 3,000 person country town in Western Australia, but fuck nowhere, all right? So if I can get to where I am today, then anybody in this room can do it. I'm just gonna tell you that right now. But I had this one squeeze I used to see, and she was a pretty girl, but she was like a spoiled daddy's girl. And every goddamn time we got into the bedroom, she just started opening her mouth. I'm like, God damn it, you're so hot, but I wish you would just stop talking. And this is when I learned, actually, that we'll get into this a bit later on, but this is when I learned that the little blue pill, right? A lot of guys sort of reach for Viagra, Cialis as their first go-to if they have any of these kind of problems. And I'm here to tell you, I'm trying to teach you guys to not need that, because there's two reasons. One is that if you become dependent upon it, it stops working, so you fuck yourself. Basically, you'll start taking it and your body needs more and more and more of the active compound to achieve the same result. That is not a long-term solution. We're gonna get rid of the root cause of the problem so you don't even need the damn thing in the first place, okay? And secondly, Viagra Cialis, they don't actually give you a boner. This gives you a boner. Your arousal gives you a boner, right? The Viagra Cialis just makes sure the plumbing works fine. So, and I found this out when I was seeing this spoiled daddy's girl, and I thought, and I had my first ever experience of like, what I thought was erectile dysfunction was actually performance anxiety, and I was like, why can't I get it up? This girl's hot, but like, god damn it, she's annoying. So I went to a doctor, I got some Viagra, cut it in half, tried it, and it didn't fucking work. I was like, what the hell? Am I sick? Am I broken? I'm like. And then I sort of reflected upon it, and I had sex with a different girl. I'm like, this is totally fine. What the hell's going on here? It's because I'm in my head getting angry, and for me at least, getting angry is a negative trigger for my junk downstairs, right? So recognizing these sort of patterns in yourself, what triggers you negatively is important to recognize, so you don't put yourself in a situation where you can get pissed off, annoyed, whatever it might be, right? Everyday stresses, if you live a very, very stressful life, performance anxiety can creep up, can seep in there. Excessive porn use, I talked about that before. And low self-esteem and low confidence. I'm not gonna lie, like a lot of guys will email me and say, look, I feel really nervous when I'm with a woman, I'm not very experienced with women. And I understand that, but you're digging your own grave with that kind of a mentality. So I'm gonna give you some mental frameworks to operate from that will help you. So, some treatments. The first one, the selfish pervert frame. It's a frame of mind that I teach a lot of guys, and if there's If there's one thing that tends to help most dudes, it's this. This is like my 80-20, the selfish pervert frame. Let me explain this. So this is a way to fix, you know, if your problem is that you're trying to impress the girl too much, or you're worrying about losing your boner, you're in your head too much, right? The selfish pervert frame is you're doing things, you're in this sort of sexual encounter, you're doing things for your own perverted, selfish pleasure. Now, it's not just selfish, because if it was just selfish, you'd just bust a nut in like 2 minutes and be done and kick her out, right? It's not just selfish, it's selfish and perverted, because the perverted side of you wants to explore every nook and cranny on that beautiful woman's body, right? She is the outlet for your uncontrollable lust. That's kind of how I want you to imagine your mental framework in this scenario, right? And she's along for the ride, but you're being inherently selfish about it. But because you're being inherently selfish, you're also leading the scenario, which is ironically between the two, right? Between being a selfish pervert versus being a guy who is overly concerned with and desperate to please his partner, which of these two do you think is actually more likely to get the woman off?
Selfish.
Yeah. It's actually, you're actually more likely to get her off. Because a woman can tell when you're really desperate to make her orgasm. She can tell, and it puts pressure on her. You get her in her head, which doesn't help you at all, right? But with the selfish pervert frame, you're leading the interaction. She can relax and go along and enjoy the ride, okay? So this is a very useful frame. Second thing, focusing on her. So I mentioned before, a lot of guys will focus on, oh, I hope I don't lose my boner. I hope I don't come too soon. Where's your focus in that scenario? It's internally, it's on yourself. You've got a gorgeous woman in front of you. Or at least I hope you have a gorgeous woman in front of you. She is the focus. And that's 90% of my job when I work on camera is making sure my focus is where it needs to be. I'm not paying attention to the lights, the sound guy, the cameraman, I'm ignoring all that crap. And I'm focusing on the beautiful woman in front of me. And focus on the parts of the woman that you find the most attractive. We have a saying in our industry where like the reason that guys in my industry can do what they do with a wide variety of different women is because we find something beautiful about every woman. It could be her ankles, it could be her eyes, the way her hair smells, the way her voice sounds. Maybe you're a tit guy, maybe you're an ass guy, I don't care. Whatever it is that you enjoy, whatever it is that you find attractive about her, that's where your laser-like focus needs to go if you start finding yourself getting in your head a little bit, right? And sometimes that just means stepping back for a second, disengaging from the sexual interaction and just telling her, look, just show me that beautiful ass of yours for a second, baby. And you get your focus back where you need it to be. All right, and now we're good. We can go back into it. Fucking your way out of a funk and giving yourself permission to fail. Now, here's the problem with performance anxiety and erectile dysfunction, I might add, is if you have a bout or you have your first experience where your dick doesn't work properly, what that can do is the next time you have sex, you might think about that, right? And now you're in a negative spiral, right? Where you're like, oh shit, last time I had boner problems. What am I gonna, is it gonna happen again this time? And if you think about that, it's probably gonna happen again, right? So instead of giving yourself another negative reference experience, you have to give yourself positive reference experiences, right? And you have to fuck your way out of a funk. And the cheat code for this, and you guys can do this very easily. I have to deliver like an A game every time, but you guys don't have to. The cheat code for this is to give yourself permission to fail and lower your expectations. So, say you had a bad experience. The next time you're with either that girl or a different girl, you're gonna say, you know what? I'm just gonna have super, super selfish sex today. I'm gonna bust in 2 minutes and I don't give a shit. You lower your standards, right? You can keep hard for 2 minutes, right? 2 minutes, bang, boom. And then your brain is like, oh, well, we didn't have performance anxiety. So it's not a negative reference experience. I decided I was going to do a real quickie 2 minute pump and dump. It was your decision and it worked. So that's a positive reference experience. It's not negatively reinforcing the performance anxiety you previously had. Is that making sense, guys? Yeah. Deliberately giving yourself blue balls. and quitting porn. So, obviously, I mentioned before, you guys shouldn't be masturbating to porn. You should be dropping porn. I'll get into why that is a bit later on as well. But deliberately giving yourself blue balls. Hands up, you guys know what I mean when I say blue balls. Everyone understand blue balls? Yep, cool. So this is basically strategic masturbation, but you're not masturbating to orgasm. You're doing what we call edging. So you might masturbate and then you stop before the point where you would ejaculate. So you keep that sort of pent up sexual frustration there. And you can do this either the morning of, say you got a date lined up for that night. You're like, you know what? I had a bad time. I had a rough night last night when I was, you know, I had a bout of performance anxiety, whatever. Today I'm going to deliberately give myself blue balls. So I'm like right on the edge and I'm really psyched up. And like, if she just touched me, I'd get hard. You know, you're kind of putting yourself in that spot where it's like anything will turn you on. And then again, you're giving your brain positive reference experiences. And that builds the confidence. You are unfuckwithable, right? Mindfulness training. Mindfulness training is basically things like meditation, right? I recommend the Headspace app. It's free. You can get that on the App Store, totally free. Guided meditation, very good for helping you develop focus, right? For controlling your thoughts, right? One of the ways they teach it in the Headspace app is imagining like, and I love this analogy, imagining your thoughts as, imagine you're sitting at a train station, and you're on the platform, and your thoughts are just the trains that roll into the station and then roll out of the station. You don't have to hop on the train, right? If you hop on the train, you're following that thought pattern. You can just sit there and watch the thoughts come in, watch the thoughts go out again. That's a way of looking at, you know, these sort of any negative thoughts that might be entering your head. Another fantastic way of developing mindfulness, this might sound a bit weird, is actually fighting. Boxing, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or a really, really intense hot yoga session, something that sucks, but you're forced to be there, present in the moment. You're not up here. If someone's throwing a fist at your face, you don't have time to think about your bank balance. You don't have time to think about the argument you have with your boss at work. You don't have time to think about the stresses of your daily life. You have a fist flying at your face. That puts you present in the moment. That is mindfulness. Most people think about meditation when they say mindfulness, but learn how to box, get out there and spar with people, and you'll find your focus is incredibly strong. All right. Moving on. Delayed ejaculation. This is very, very common in young men these days. What are some of the causes of delayed ejaculation? Well, penile desensitization. And this kind of ties into the next point as well, which is a dry glands or dry head of the penis. Penile desensitization. Some guys will do what we refer to as the death grip when they're jerking off, right? And just fucking going at it, a million miles an hour, kung fu grip. What that does is it trains your body. It trains your body to respond to a certain pressure and intensity. You can reverse that. You can actually train your body by doing the complete opposite. But this is often a cause of this delayed ejaculation and an inability to climax with a partner. See, most of the guys who have delayed ejaculation problems, they don't have a problem coming when they're jerking off. It's when they're with their partner. And then they start to wonder why, right? A dry glands ahead of the penis. This can happen with dudes who are circumcised because you don't have the foreskin there to keep the head of the penis sort of just naturally moisturized. It can lead to a dry gland, which leads to desensitization, which can make it a bit harder to ejaculate. Fried dopamine receptors. This is caused by excessive porn use and excessive social media use, being on your goddamn phone all the time, checking Twitter all the time, checking Instagram all the time, or eating tons of sugar. All these sort of, any activity that is like instant gratification is firing off these dopamine receptors. And porn, you have like a dozen tabs open on a porn browser, that's doing the exact same thing, right? You're firing off these dopamine receptors again and again. And it's kind of like, it's not exactly the same. Technically, porn isn't addictive, it's habit forming because it's not a substance. There's a little distinction between the two. Like cocaine is addictive because it's a substance and you get addicted to it. Porn is a habit forming thing. But it does very, very similar things in the brain, right? So you fry your dopamine receptors And then it become, because the act of climaxing, the act of orgasming, is kind of like this dopamine overload. It's losing control. And if your body has fried dopamine receptors, you need so much goddamn dopamine to cause the same response. And this is why I tell guys, don't jerk off to porn. Excessive prolactin. Anyone here know what prolactin is? Has anyone heard the word prolactin before? I'm curious. One guy. Interesting. Two guys. All right. So prolactin is the basic, is a chemical in your brain that gets released when you orgasm. This chemical is actually what causes that kind of drowsy, sleepy, cuddly feeling that you get after you jizz in a girl. That's the thing that makes you want to roll over and just like, ugh. That's prolactin doing that. Prolactin actually also causes the male refractory period, the time that you need between orgasms. That's caused by the brain chemical prolactin. Now, some guys, it also controls your like arousal levels and whether or not you can get excited too much. Some guys have excess prolactin in their brain. So it is worthwhile, if you have this problem, it's worthwhile getting your prolactin levels checked because you might have hyperprolactinemia. You might have too much of it, okay? Treatments for delayed ejaculation. The dopamine fast. What is a dopamine fast? Cutting out porn, cutting out as much social media as you possibly can. If you need it for your job, obviously, you have to do that a bit, but limiting it with a timer on your phone, there's certain apps you can get which can limit your access to these things. Avoiding things like alcohol and sugar. Again, anything that sort of triggers that dopamine response, that really short-term gratification response in the brain, you cut that out for 30 days, minimum. Go on a dopamine fast for 30 days, and then see how you feel in 30 days' time. If you're able to climax, that was the problem. Progressive sensitization. So this I'm going to talk about, strategic edging. We're going to talk about kind of like strategic masturbation here as well. But if you have a really, really bad porn habit and you're kind of constantly needing variety and you're checking a billion different tabs and stuff, progressive sensitization, we're going to do the complete opposite of what we've already done. So you're going to start off with, okay, say you jerk off to like 20 porn videos when you're masturbating, whatever, right? What you're gonna do is, the next step down from that, you're gonna go, all right, I'm only gonna allow myself to jerk off to one porn video. I have to pick one video and I stick to that and I jerk off. Cool, that's the next rung down. Then you say, all right, I'm only going to jerk off to a picture. See how it's sort of a little bit less stimulating? Then you say, all right, now I'm only gonna allow myself to jerk off to an erotic story. There's less stimulation, right? And you're relying on your own imagination to get yourself there instead, right? So you're progressively desensitizing yourself from the need for this constant novelty, this constant triggering of the dopamine. Strategic edging, like I said before, deliberately giving yourself blue balls, basically. If you find that you have trouble climaxing with a partner and you wanna make sure you do it that day, getting yourself blue balls first thing in the morning and then going on a date with her that night, you should be fine. This is kind of like a short-term fix. And then for the dry glands, the dry head of the penis, for guys who are circumcised, I am circumcised, so I know this works. You can get anhydrous lanolin. Lanolin is a grease derived from sheep's wool. It's actually what, if you're allergic to wool, dear God, do not put this on your dick, for a start, just say that, all right? But this is what pregnant women use on their nipples when it gets too dry and chapped, or not pregnant, but breastfeeding women use on their nipples when the baby's just sucking on the tits all the time and it's getting sore and chafed. And they use this to fix and heal up the skin. What I do, sounds stupid, but it works. I'll get like plastic cling film wrap, rub anhydrous lanolin on the head of my dick. I don't have a foreskin, so I wrap the thing up in with some plastic cling film, and I sleep like that, and it's like an artificial foreskin for myself. If I do that a couple of days in a row, I am sensitive as hell. Trust me, if this is genuinely a problem for you, that last one, give that a try first. I'm guaranteeing you it will help. Premature ejaculation, the opposite problem. This comes about from a lack of connection between your mind and your body, basically a lack of control. You don't have an awareness of when you're getting close to this point of no return. That's the terminology we use for like any more stimulation at all and bang, you're coming, you're over the edge, right? That's the point of no return. So you've got no understanding of where that is for yourself. Bad sexual strategy. We have a saying in the porn industry, worst first. We do our, we do the sex position we hate the first. Why might we do that?
Because the one you like the most is going to set you off.
Bingo, exactly. If I'm a real big fan of doggy style, and I start my scene pumping away in doggy style, I'm like, God damn, I'm about to jizz. I'm only like 2 minutes in. I've got 25 more minutes of this shit, right? If, however, I start in everyone's least favorite position in my industry, which is reverse cowgirl, then I can, okay, cool, I can do this for like 5 minutes. All right, we're great. And now we can do a few other positions, right? So, a lot of guys, I'm not telling you not to enjoy sex, but I'm giving you a strategy for if you want it to go a little bit longer, right? If it's going too short and you want to extend that time, cool. You do your worst position first. Over arousal and mentally focusing on things, like we mentioned before, focusing on the part of the woman that you find the most attractive. Well, if you're popping too soon, maybe you can change where you're focusing a little bit to give yourself a bit more control, okay? And then obviously, a lack of sex and having blue balls and having not and having a long time between sexual partners is gonna lead to premature ejaculation in a lot of circumstances. So that's something you shouldn't be beating yourself up over. So how do we fix this? We learn to recognize the point of no return. And I've said, about the third time I've said this, edging. Edging is another way of doing this. So edging is, once again, masturbating up to the point of no return. Just before that, stopping, taking your hands off it, calming down, breathing, right? Gaining control again, and then trying it again, and again, stopping. Recognizing where that point of no return is, being able to control it, being able to stop before it, not let yourself go over the edge. And the more you become accustomed to that, the more control you're gonna have during the act of sex. It's not gonna be a case of like, pump, oh crap, I'm coming. You're gonna actually know and recognize when that's coming up, right? Worst position first, like we mentioned. If you don't like a certain, because you tend to be the most aroused and rock hard when you first engage in sex with a woman, right? And so your boner's gonna be there, your boner's gonna be fine. Jump into your worst position first, and then she gets hers, and then you can get yours at the end of the sex session. Breath control. This is a big one. What you'll notice is that when you climax, you breathe a certain way. Now, some guys hold their breath when they're about to come. Other guys, like, they breathe out. Every guy's a bit different, but recognizing how you breathe when you're orgasming, right? Then, when you feel like you're losing control, just do the opposite. So for me, I know that I hold my breath when I'm getting close to orgasm, so I will take longer, deeper breaths, and that takes away the sensation, or all the sensations, the feelings from my penis, and gives me more control again. Engaging the logical mind. So I said before, say you're an ass guy, and you're in doggy style, and you're looking at her ass, and you're like, God damn, this is fantastic. Switch the focus for a minute. One of my early mentors, he taught me, during the middle of a scene, he would like look up and count the tiles on the roof. Or he would count the blinds on the windowsill, right? Depending upon what the shot of the camera was, he's like, because he can't be looking up this way if the camera sees his face, right? But he can look that way, and he can count like the blinds on the window or the tiles on the floor in front of him, whatever it is. But that's engaging his logical mind, right? Now, don't do this if you have a problem with performance anxiety, because that, like, there's layers to this, guys. So typically, you're not going to have all of these problems simultaneously, right? So I'm giving you the tools that you need for each specific problem. And you might only need one. You don't need all of this stuff simultaneously. Just pick one that works for you, okay? But if you're losing control a little bit, engage that logical mind for a second. Take the focus away from the thing that's really getting you there. 30 seconds, that's all you need. Oh, at least I like this pat on the roof. And we're back. Cool. Kegels. Kegels are really good for controlling all the sensations down there. Who's heard of Kegels? I'm curious. Hands up. Okay, you guys have heard it. You guys know what they are, how to do them. For the guys at home. When you're pissing, when you stop the flow of piss, you've just done a Kegel, right? That tensing, that squeezing sensation up and around here, that is the PC muscle. We can do Kegel exercises deliberately to, one, strengthen the pelvic floor downstairs, and we'll talk about that a bit later on in the erectile dysfunction section, but two, it gives you more control over the sensations in your penis, actually makes your orgasm more intense and stronger and feel better if you have a stronger pelvic floor too, but it also helps you control and recognize that point of no return much better. So I tell guys, if you've never done Kegels before, just start off doing 50 Kegels in the shower in the morning. Squeeze one second squeezes. Do that for like a week. Then the next week, try and do 100. And then the week after that, try and do 20 3-second hold squeezes. So it's 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. I'm doing them right now. this last one, these are a bit hard to describe without me whipping my dick out, which I'm not gonna do, but we can, I will try to demonstrate with my arm, because it's about the same size. Flick the tip, pinch yourself, or kink the hose. Okay, so what I mean by flick the tip, I mean, okay, there's the bell end, right? And I'm just flicking the fucking thing, causing a little bit of pain, take the good feelings away, take the sensation away. All right, cool, we're back in the game, we can keep going. Pinching yourself. If you actually note it, you'll see this a lot in porn. You'll see guys doing this a lot. They'll like pinch their thigh. We do this all the time. We're sitting there pinching our thigh, takes the pain away, gives us pain, takes the sensations away from the dick. All right, we're back in the game, now we can keep going again. Kicking the hose. This is kind of hard to describe. So, all right, that's the wang. All right, there's the head of the penis. You're applying, we're trying to do it that way. You're applying a force kind of like this. Imagine I'm doing this with my fingers, right? I'm not bending the damn thing, I'm not trying to snap it off. I hear guys like, ugh, relax, I'm not doing it too hard. But you're just applying a little kink. What it does is it breaks, it sort of stops the nerve signal running down, up and down the head of your penis. That tiny little kink, it'll take away the sensation really quickly. Yeah, it's like like the emergency brake, right? You're like, oh, crack, okay, cool. Turn on the emergency brake, give yourself a second, and you're back in action. Causes of erectile dysfunction. Now, like I said before, performance anxiety is up here, okay? Erectile dysfunction is the plumbing, it's the physical side of it. Poor cardiovascular health and blood circulation. Arterial plaques, bet you never thought about that in your dick. Same way you can get arterial plaques all through, you know, your heart and stuff, in your arteries, you can get them in your dick. A weak pelvic floor and poor hormonal levels, so testosterone. How can you fix this? Well, get in shape for a start. If you have poor cardiovascular health, you should be getting in shape. I personally recommend high intensity interval training and or fighting. Like boxing, I don't do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but I know that it is an intense workout. Excuse me. But boxing, like nothing is as intense as fighting another man. You'll be exhausted after it. It is a fantastic cardiovascular workout. It's a great confidence booster and you learn how to throw a punch. So there's no downsides to learning how to fight, by the way. I want to make this perfectly clear. So, but any form of high intensity interval training. I also like to do sprints. You know, if you want maybe a more personalized, tailored program, maybe see Mr. Phil Foster back there. He might be able to help you out a bit as well. Eliminating sugar, alcohol, cigarettes, or cigars, which is the dirty habit I've recently picked up. All this stuff will help with the removing or preventing further calcification of your arteries and making sure your blood flow works properly. Pomegranate juice. Like I said, I'm trying to help you guys avoid using things like Viagra Cialis. Pomegranate juice, very, very interesting thing. There's been studies done on pomegranate juice. It's one of the few things that can actually reverse arterial sclerosis. Can actually have I think it's got something to do with the antioxidant content of it, but actually scavenges some of the deposits. around the arteries. So you can actually help to reverse, if you currently do have some arterial plaques, you can actually help to reverse it by consuming a glass of pomegranate juice every day. Kegels, like we said before, having a strong pelvic floor, help keep and pump the blood into the penis, keeping it nice and strong. Now, as we age, our pelvic floor tends to get weaker, so just doing some maintenance with some maintenance Kegels, keep that thing in shape. Eating healthy fats and cruciferous vegetables. Now, fat got bastardized quite a lot when I was growing up. Fat was evil, fat was bad. You should eat carbohydrates instead. I personally like to eat a paleo-style diet. That's how I like to eat. But cholesterol is literally one of the building blocks of testosterone. It's the chemical building block. So I recommend, guys, this is another little tidbit for you. I'm going to give you the recipe for my boner shake. So I have this in the evenings before I go to bed, before I have a scene the next day. And it's disgusting. It is 4 raw eggs and a scoop of protein powder and then water and a shaker, and I shake it up and I drink that before I go to bed. What is that doing? That's giving my body healthy fats, plenty of vitamins and minerals and whatnot, but primarily it's giving my body a ton of cholesterol that it can convert into testosterone when I'm sleeping. And I wake up with a goddamn raging boner. You can try this tonight. If you haven't woken up with a boner in a long time, try this, 4 raw eggs, vanilla protein powder to make it taste nice. Drink that, next morning you'll wake up with a boner, guarantee it. Cruciferous vegetables, these are also good for things like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, cabbage. These are good for helping balance out your hormones, and in particular, reducing the effect of environmental estrogens in your bloodstream. Who here has read the book Estrogeneration by Anthony Jay? Anyone read that? Who's heard of it before? We've got 1, 2. Okay, I'm glad you guys are here then. This book, write this down right now. Every man in this room needs to read this book. Estrogeneration by Anthony Jay. When you read it, you will become very paranoid, unfortunately. However, the book talks about how we are, in our modern day environment, how we are constantly exposed to artificial estrogens. Perfect example of that is estradiol, which comes from the birth control pill. It gets urinated out in women's urine. It ends up in the water table, ends up in the water supply. Unfortunately, municipal water supplies only really filter out for viruses and bacteria and things. They don't filter out for organic compounds, which is what estradiol is. So all the water supply you guys are drinking is contaminated with estradiol. Alex Jones was right when he said the frogs are turning gay because of the water. He wasn't lying. Like, I sound like a bit of a conspiracy theorist. Read the book. But things like the water supply, so we're talking your drinking water, your shower water. We're talking soy, very bad for your estrogen levels. We're talking phthalates in perfumes and fragrances and soaps. We're talking plastics in cups and drinking bottles and things like that. All of these things are adding estrogen exposure to your body. And what happens is all these estrogens hide in your fat cells, and they basically cause this hormonal imbalance. Now, you guys know that male testosterone levels have been plummeting like year on year on year, right? For like 50 something years, probably a little bit longer. I think I remember seeing a statistic, maybe the statistic is slightly off, but men, the average testosterone range for a 30-year-old male today was the same testosterone level of a dude in his 60s in 1950, something like that. That gives you an idea of how much our T levels have declined. And doctors have just sort of moved the healthy normal range down. They haven't thought, things are plummeting, this is bad, why is this happening, how can we fix this? They've just said, oh, the normal range for a male now is down here, not giving you guys any reason why or how to prevent it or reverse it. So basically everyone in here has low testosterone, I'm telling you this right now. Well, except maybe Phil, if he's on the TRT. And if you're an older gentleman, investigate TRT. Okay? But these things here, eating healthy fats, cruciferous vegetables, these are kind of natural ways to help get your T levels back in shape, if you want to do a more kind of natural route. And this supplement stack right here, vitamin D, 25 micrograms, vitamin K2, 200 micrograms, L-arginine. L-arginine is actually really good for blood flow downstairs. So L-arginine is the precursor for nitric oxide in your body. Nitric oxide is the chemical compound in your body that makes your blood vessels relax and open up. What most people don't realize about a boner is actually a relaxation response. This is why you can't get a boner when you're stressed out and anxious, because you're tense. An erection is a relaxation response because your blood vessels relax and they open up and the blood is allowed to flow in. That is what Viagra and Cialis does. They give you more nitric oxide in the bloodstream, so everything relaxes and opens up and you get more blood flow. L-arginine is a basic supplement that anyone can take, which does the same thing. And your body produces it naturally. And lastly here, masculine self-care. And this ties into the whole Anthony Yeh esterogeneration, estrogen exposure idea I was talking about before. I stumbled across this by accident when I was having some fun with my best friend in Portugal. We were holidaying. He's read the book as well. We're both like, what would be like the perfect like manly self-care day that is in line with like our genes and our biology that is gonna like reset, like give us like a hormonal reset? And this is the day we came up with. And no shit, after doing this, I felt like I'm 34. I felt like I was 22 again doing this in one day in the sun, lifting heavy weights. I made them all like S's just because it was funny. But sun, squat, sauna, steak, sports massage. So lifting heavy shit in the sun, ideally, right? Getting plenty of vitamin D exposure. Tanning your sack is actually a real thing, by the way. Getting some healthy UV rays on your sack is even better if you can do it. Don't get arrested. You can either squat or you can spar. Me and my buddy would spar on the beach that morning. Then we'd go to a sauna. The sauna is something that everybody should add to their regime. Here's why. Sauna therapy is about the only damn thing that'll allow these estrogens that are hiding in your fat cells to escape. It's got something to do, I'm not gonna pretend like I know exactly how it works, but it's got something to do with infrared light, the infrared radiation that comes off of the hot coals and stuff in a sauna. And you can also have infrared saunas. But it allows the molecules, these estrogens in your fat to actually escape the fat cells and be sweated out and released from your body. Otherwise, they just sit there. They sit there in your fat cells, disrupting your hormone balance. So we're in the sun, we're squatting or sparring, then we're going to a sauna, we're having a juicy, juicy steak, preferably grass-fed. Grass-fed steak is infinitely more nutritious and infinitely better for you than grain-fed. And in America, that is actually kind of, you got to really pay attention to that, because in this country, damn near everything is grain-fed. And if you want an even easier cheat code, get lamb, if you like lamb. Sheeps can't eat like grains and things like that. They only eat grass, so they only eat what they're naturally meant to eat. So if you get sheep, if you get lamb, you know it's going to be grass-fed. It's going to be good for you. And finally, sports massage. Have a small Thai lady beat you up for like 90 minutes. None of this like happy ending bullshit. Actually have her stand on your back, beat the crap out of you. This will just like relax the hell out of everything. De-stress. A lot of you guys are working very stressful jobs. You're sitting in a chair all day. You're inside all day, right? You notice how this is all sort of in, this looks kind of like what an ancient Greek might do in their regular day life. You notice how it's a bit more in line with how we've probably been living for like thousands of years, right? You're in the sun, you're lifting heavy shit, right? You're sweating stuff out, you're eating something nutritious, and you're having a lovely young lady massage all that stress out of you, right? But that the sports massage alone, like getting all this stress out of your body, is really gonna help get your body back on track, make you feel more vigorous, make you feel a lot younger, and then everything was gonna start working again. All right. So that are the four biggest issues that guys have in a bedroom. Hopefully you don't need to use any of that. But if you do, you now have some tools in your back pocket that you can whip out at any time if you have that problem. And because you guys are all here, this is all where you can find me, my website, my YouTube, my Twitter, my Instagram. Reach out to me if you've got any personal questions, or you can ask them right now. So thank you guys. Cheers. Any questions? Yep.
So you talked about plastic has like estrogen and how the levels, T levels are falling. So how do you fix it? Do you suggest like avoiding, like I got a plastic water bottle here. Do you suggest using like glass or something?
Yeah, so you can use like glass bottles or like steel metal ones. Silicone is also another alternative. So like if you can get, because this typically going to be some kind of plastic lid on damn near, even if it's a glass bottle or a metal bottle, right? But if it's silicone, silicones don't leak phthalates. They don't contain these sort of phthalate additives that they use. So silicone and then glass or metal for like bottles and containers and things. For, I can give you a bunch of suggestions here because it's stuff I use. So for like toothpaste and whatnot, to avoid the plastic toothpaste container, I use a brand called Bites. It's like little tablets that you just crunch up in your mouth and you add water and then you start brushing away. I use a bamboo toothbrush instead of a plastic toothbrush, right? You can use a metal tongue scraper instead of a plastic tongue scraper. For your water, I personally use a Berkey water filter. Activated charcoal is the only thing that's going to take out organic compounds from water. Not this sediment stuff, all these like marbles and stuff. Like most water filters are like all these sort of layers of things. The only one that really matters when it comes to getting rid of estrogens in the water supply is activated charcoal. It can actually bind to that and get rid of them. So I have a Berkey water filter that I run that through. You can also get filters like that for your shower heads or your kitchen sink. You can get that installed if you want to go that far. Perfumes and things, colognes and things. I do wear a little bit of cologne here and there, but you can find more natural, like natural oil-based alternatives. Avoid lavender. Avoid lavender. Lavender has a very similar effect to soy. It's a phytoestrogen. It contains a lot of phytoestrogens. So plant estrogens, phytoestrogen. Avoid lavender, like any soaps or anything that are lavender-based. The soap company that is sponsoring this event, the Tactical Soap, they're a great alternative for soaps. Or I also use Dr. Broner's Castile soap. They're really good, really, really good. Another quick tidbit, that's Dr. Broner's Pure Castile Tea Tree soap and a scrubbing brush was what fixed my bacne. I used to have like pretty bad like acne and bacne. That cleared it right up. So there's a little bit extra there. Yeah, I think I've covered a few suggestions for you. Any other questions?
Oh. When you discuss masculine self-care, how often would you suggest going to massage or having a sports massage?
Cool. I try to do that routine like once every week or once every 2 weeks. Depends on, obviously, work within your budget, obviously. Sauna, 2 to 3 times a week if you can, is great. Like, fit it into like your training regime. You know, if you go to the gym or you go boxing or whatever, do the sauna afterwards. It's also great for recovery. You know, so you can train a bit harder as well. But if you can fit it in 2 to 3 times a week, you're doing infinitely better than most people or most men in the West are. That's for damn sure. Yeah.
So how often do you do that boner shake? Is it like once a week?
I do that before I shoot a scene.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know the next day I need to be on point. So you might, if you have a date lined up the next day, take the night before. It'll also make you more like, you know, in a bit more, have a bit more masculine intent to your conversations when you're a bit hornier, right? It doubles up, it helps. Anybody else?
Asking for a friend. encountered a lot of women who like to, you know, do give oral, and I'm one of those people who really don't like it. In fact, I dislike it so much that it turns me off.
So you don't like them going down on you?
Correct.
Okay.
And I'm probably in the minority in that regard, but they insist on doing it. Is there any way to mentally overcome?
Just tell them to stop. Just tell them no. Just set a boundary. Like,
is there a way to make myself like it?
I mean, what is it? Is it a penile sensitivity thing? Is it like too intense, too much?
It's just like, I'm just like sitting there, I'm like, okay.
It doesn't feel like anything?
Yeah, it feels like nothing.
Try this. So probably the most sensitive part of your dick is actually the frenulum underneath the bottom. That kind of like the banjo string, right? That runs along the bottom. Try this, and if it works, then you just teach her how to give you a head. But tell her just to like slowly tease and lick that spot. Feels fucking amazing. But try that rather than her doing the whole fucking slurp and jerk motion thingy. That might be a bit more enjoyable for you. So get her to try that. Yeah. I think we're done, Jads. Thank you, guys.